August 6th, the Transfiguration of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. In the third year of his preaching, the Lord Jesus often spoke to his disciples of his approaching passion, but at the same time of his glory following his suffering on the cross, so that his impending passion would not totally weaken his disciples and that no one would fall away from him. He, the All-Wise, wanted to partially show them his divine glory before his passion. For that reason he took Peter, James, and John with him, and with them went out at night to Mount Tabor, and there was transfigured before them, and his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. St. Matthew chapter 17, verse 2. There appeared alongside him Moses and Elijah, the great Old Testament prophets. And seeing this, his disciples were amazed. Peter said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." St. Matthew chapter 17, verse 4. While Peter still spoke, Moses and Elijah departed, and a bright cloud overshadowed the Lord and his disciples, and there came a voice from the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." St. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Hearing the voice, the disciples fell to the ground on their faces, as though dead, and remained that way, lying in fear until the Lord came near to them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." St. Matthew chapter 17, verse 7. Why did the Lord take only three disciples on Tabor, and not all? Because Judas was not worthy to behold the divine glory of the teacher, whom he will betray, and the Lord did not want to leave him, Judas alone, at the foot of the mountain, so that the betrayer would not, by that, justify his betrayal. Why was our Lord transfigured on a mountain, and not in a valley? So as to teach us two virtues, love of labor, and godly thoughts. For climbing to the heights required labor, and height represents the heights of our thoughts, i.e., godly thoughts. Why was our Lord transfigured at night? Because the night, rather than the day, is more suitable for prayer and godly thoughts, and because the night, by its darkness, conceals all the beauty of the earth and reveals the beauty of the starry heavens. Why did Moses and Elijah appear? In order to destroy the error of the Jews, as though Christ is one of the prophets, Elijah or Jeremiah or some other. That is why he appears as a king above the prophets, and that is why Moses and Elijah appear as his servants. Until then, our Lord manifested his divine power many times to the disciples, but on Mount Tabor he manifested his divine nature. This vision of his divinity and the hearing of the heavenly witness about him as the Son of God should serve the disciples in the days of the Lord's passion in strengthening of an unwavering faith in him and his final victory. Hymn of Praise, the Transfiguration of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ.
There where Israel defeated Sisar, there also condescended the heavenly King. Prayer to go and to nightly vigils, the glory of his transfiguration to manifest, and the faith of his followers to confirm. In the eternal victory of him the victor, their divine light from himself he released, dispels the thick darkness, and illuminated Tabor, the light for a long time which in himself contained, from which to the world a little at a time dispensed, abundant rays now released, jubilant rays, sweet rays, the glow of humanity to reveal to heaven, to earth and to men, the divine truth. Let the firmament its representative see, let the earth recognize God the Savior.
Reflection. Why did our Lord not manifest his divine glory on Tabor before all the disciples instead of before three of them? First, because he himself gave the law through the mouth of Moses, at the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. Therefore, three witnesses are sufficient. These three witnesses represent three main virtues: Peter, faith, for he was the first to confess his faith in Christ as the Son of God; James, hope, for with faith in the promise of Christ he was the first to lay down his life for the Lord, being the first to be slain by the Jews; John, love, for he reclined on the bosom of the Lord and remained beneath the cross of the Lord until the end. God is not called the God of many, but rather the God of the chosen. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. God often valued a faithful man more than an entire nation. Thus, on many occasions, he wanted to destroy the entire Jewish nation, but because of the prayers of righteous Moses, spared that nation to live. God listened more to the faithful prophet Elijah than to the entire unbelieving kingdom of Ahab. Because of the prayers of one man, God saved towns and people. Thus, the sinful town of Ustiug was to be destroyed by fire and hail had it not been saved by the prayers of the one and only righteous man in it, St. Procopius, the fool for Christ, July 8th. Contemplation. To contemplate the providence of God, which rewarded the virtue of Ruth and Boaz. The Book of Ruth. How Ruth, being left a widow, remained faithful to Naomi, her aged mother-in-law, and by her labors fed both Naomi and herself. How the wealthy Boaz was merciful and helped these two poor women. How Boaz and Ruth entered into marriage, from whom was born Obed, the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. Homily about the exaltation of the Church of God. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. This prophecy pertains to the Church of Christ. However much of this prophecy could seem to be mysterious to the Jews before Christ, so much more is it completely clear for us today. Mountain or height, the house of the Lord is truly established in the top of the mountains, i.e., in the heights of the heavens, for the Church of Christ first is not sustained by the earth, but rather by the heavens, and finally, one part of the members of the Church, and now a greater part, is to be found in heaven, while the other part is still on earth. Further, the Church of Christ is exalted above the hills, i.e., above all earthly and human greatness, human philosophy and art, and all the cultures of people, as well as all earthly values, represent only the lowly hills in comparison to the infinite heights of Christ's Church. For it was not difficult for the Church to create all of those hills, while neither one of them, nor all of them together, in the course of many thousands of years, was able to create the Church. Finally, the prophet says, all nations shall flow into it. To what, truly, up to now have all the nations flowed, if not into the Church of Christ? The Temple of Jerusalem was inaccessible to the Gentiles under the penalty of death. The Church, however, from the beginning called all nations on earth obedient to the command of the Lord. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. St. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. This is the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, a vision from afar, a vision truthful and wonderful. O wonderful Lord, we give you unceasing thanks that you have made us unworthy to be the children of your holy and true Church, that is exalted above all the worldly heights. To you be glory and thanks always. Amen.